Welcome, everyone. It's nice to be back in person.
Boy, I'll say. Big time.
Anyone have any comments they want to make? Suggestions?
I have a question. What does a senior analyst do?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, I'm pretty new to the position. But what I do essentially is I oversee a lot of the billing portions of our fleet operations. At the moment, I'm just kind of working to ensure that everything is moving smoothly, that our billings are getting put out at a you know, accurate time, and that the information that's being submitted is accurate as well. So there's an auditing component. We have a new person onboarded who is going to be working on our fuel. Previously, I was also kind of handling that as well. So really, it's kind of an overseeing position, just ensuring that operations are running smoothly. So for animal services, it'll have a similar function. So they'll be focused on doing the main day-to-day operational tasks and whatnot. And then I'll just be in a supporting role to ensure that they have everything that they need to be successful and that everything is getting completed according to our divisions and departments.
Yeah, that might be a good time for me to just go over some of the changes we've
sure,
had
sure.
in the last 2 years.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
Well, so like Nathan is the new senior analyst. Before that, he was an assistant analyst, and he's so squared away, he skipped analyst and went straight to senior analyst. So he's been around for a couple of years, so he knows what's going on. LCAS. Along with Nathan's promotion, John Roach, who you guys may or may not have met, he was the logistics supervisor for Fleet. Now he's the supervisor for the whole division. So he's like my deputy. And he'll be here lots of times because I often have a meeting scheduled with our leadership team at the same time, so we'll take turns coming to this. So Rachel and Crystal, the two office assistants, are still in LCAS. As you all probably heard, both of our animal welfare officers are no longer with us. We've hired the senior position, Stacy Mann. She starts next week and with training. And then in another month or so, we'll post for the other animal welfare officer. We've enticed Bernie Perkins to come out of retirement for...
Poor guy.
Yeah, well, he held me over the barrel for money, so I don't... So he's coming back as a consultant to train the new animal welfare officers. So
at this point, we don't have any at all?
At this point, we have none at all. Wow. And we haven't since... January?
That's about right, January. Well, yeah.
And yeah. So when will somebody officially be on board?
Next Monday.
Okay.
Next Monday they'll be officially, and then Bernie will be training them.
Next Monday or next month?
Next Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's been a long... So this losing both the AWOs under circumstances there was nothing we could do about. So we tried to, but it didn't work out. And then, so the sheriff's office has been helping us out. If we have some cases, we've had some cases that they've gone taking care of us for us. Others are just kind of piling up. And when the new person starts, Bernie will actually start this week prioritizing those calls and train her in all those different situations.
So how long is Bernie going to be in the advisory committee?
God, I hope not too long. He's going to bleed me dry. But no, he has 500. He has 520 hours. No, we have plenty of money actually because we haven't been paying any salaries. We have him for 520 hours. We're thinking maybe 6 weeks, but we'll see.
That's a good length of time.
Yeah. So.
So what's happening now when someone in the community calls and says there's a dangerous dog?
The answer depends. So if it's something a dog bit someone, we can send a deputy out there. If it's like a report of a dog, if it's a dog bite or something, of course, we'll send a deputy. But if it's neglect cases or things like that, We kind of have to evaluate them a little and pass it to the deputies. Sometimes they have time to take care of it. Sometimes they don't, but they don't have a lot of people on patrol at any one time either. Right. We've had a couple cases, like a week or two ago, there was on TV on KZI, there was a thing about some lady down in Saginaw saying she's trying to get help from animal services but they can't get through because these two dogs keep killing her sheep. Well, we've been there before. She has no idea what the dogs are. She's never actually seen the dogs herself. We're not even sure if they're dogs. It could be coyotes, but you know, it's the stockholder owner's responsibility to secure their animals. Right. If we knew for sure, we'll take care of it. So that's one that it was on the news. But we did have another one where it was a neglect case with some cattle out closer to Florence. And it seemed really bad, but then it turned out it was a neighbor dispute and the pictures were old. You know, it's one of those things. So a lot of times what the initial report we get isn't accurate, or a lot of times it's not enough for us, like the Saginaw thing, it's not enough for us to do anything.
Right, right.
If we had an animal welfare officer, we wouldn't have done anything for the sheep because they don't know what the dog, if it's dogs or what the dogs look like or where they live. We've been out there a couple times and we're never able to figure anything out. Right. She's losing sheep somehow.
But never seen the dogs?
No. Okay. She said the neighbor saw them, and it was a black one and a brown one. I'm like, well, okay.
So are sheep just disappearing, or
no,
are there carcasses?
There's carcasses, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one, we had a sheep. Lady keeps reporting sheep dead in a field. It's one of those fields that the owner doesn't live in the property, but they have a lot of sheep. It's lambing season. We called him when we found out and said, hey, somebody report you got some dead sheep. And he goes, I'll go check. He went and checked, he said, I don't see any dead sheep. So, you know, but sometimes there's losses too. And as long as they get taken care of in a reasonable amount of time, it's okay. So a lot of people want to call back from me and explain why we're not doing anything. Well, there's a lot of times we can't do anything.
Right.
So, I mean, people call for things like these horses don't have any cows or whatever, don't have any shelter.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no requirement yeah, for thought. Shelter in Oregon revised statutes for livestock. So,
several years ago, I heard the president of the American Cattlemen Association said he can't run his cows next to I-5 south of here during winter because of calls to cow calves.
Right. Well,
we don't have to move away from the freeway.
Yeah, we explain people what.
That's crazy.
In this case, this isn't covered by Lane Code. It's the ORS. You know, we have to follow what the ORS says, and that's
right.
You know, so that comes up quite a bit too. But we do, you know, we'll check neglect out, make sure everything's okay. But a lot of times, it's not really. It's people that have moved to the country and aren't really familiar with how
right.
things mm-hmm. run
and think the cows shouldn't have hip bones showing.
Right, things like that. And we've, in the past, you know, like Elise was, she could grade a horse, she was qualified to that, and we'll have that. Also, Bernie was a cow expert because he raises cattle.
Right,
so
right.
We got the expertise, right. or we will again soon, to deal with this.
So the people coming on, what kind of qualifications do they have?
Well, Stacy is, grew up on a farm, lots of experience with animals, kind of non-professionally, but she's current Lane County employee, and she's worked for Health and Human tax assessors. She worked there, and then she was a dispatcher with the sheriffs. So she knows all the law enforcement type procedures, which is great.
Plus, she's a farmer.
Yeah, so she knows she's got a background in it. And then the other position we haven't posted yet. I want to get her on board and get Bernie training her before we go out and hire the second one. So we'll be full up
that
here.
Sounds good.
Pretty quick. It's been a struggle the last couple months, but it was there was nothing we could do about it.
Yeah. Do the best you can with what you have.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with LCAS.
Thank you.
We still have the AWO. These guys are new. I'm kind of back. I haven't been around much for 6 months because I was dealing with cancer, so I'm all better at that now, so we don't have to worry about that, I hope, for
yeah.
a while.
So I
was only working about 6 hours a week in the office during that time. couple hours each day, then I'd go do my radiation. But I'm all better now, so we're all back.
Good news.
Vice Chair, go for it.
All right. Any changes or additions to the agenda at this time? All right, I'd like to call for an acknowledgement of the audio minutes of the January 22 Zoom meeting.
You got me, I haven't listened to them.
Well, that's why we say acknowledge now.
Remember,
we went from approve.
Yeah, right. Well, Scott's not here, so we don't have to argue about it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Hurry, get past this.
All right, moving on. We pretty well have an LCAS update, yep. Wouldn't you agree? All right.
Yes.
What about our committee goals? How far did we get with that?
We skipped over importation, didn't we?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And I'd like to pass
David,
those up.
What do you have for us?
I have stuff. Go ahead and pass them around. Not long ago, there was rabies imported into Ontario. I tried to print it out, but I wasn't able to print that out, so I didn't bring it.
Ontario, Oregon, or
no,
Canada?
Ontario, Canada.
Thanks.
Back east. The omnibus appropriations bill included $1 million to help protect human health through importations, which is a good thing. I'm happy to report this. Imported dogs have, I'll just read a little bit of it, have been responsible for introduction of transmission of diseases, and at the bottom I listed some of the diseases so you have an idea of what they're about. Linda probably knows about all these.
Yeah.
But anyhow, it's a good thing. So we're heading in the right direction. It's not going to take care of everything. Of course, Oregon passed a bill to put it to the state police to watch the rescues and license them, so that seems to be going pretty well so far. But that's all I've got. But you can get a chance to take a read of this.
I've heard a little bit of pushback from breeders importing dogs, hoping that the CDC was going to reverse themselves.
And from breeders?
The breeders. They're latching on to the word temporary ban.
I can address that. I can't address it right now, but I can get that addressed.
I think
temporary, what do you mean?
There apparently is language in the bill that addresses that ban as being temporary. So certain breeders
You're talking
seem
about
to
the
be,
rabies coming
yeah,
in?
Yeah.
That one.
Seem to be latching onto that, hoping that that will indeed be temporary and then be reversed.
Are you talking about breeders in other countries?
No.
No, breeders in America importing a show dog.
Yeah. Primarily importing show dogs.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about people importing dogs that are supposedly rescue and then turning around and reselling them.
But these are show dogs that are being imported by breeders for the purpose of breeding.
Yeah, everyone is impacted by this.
For sure. I can address that through Patty and see what she has to say about
that. That'd be good. Could you report back next
time?
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Super. Anything else, David?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Moving on to committee goals for 22. What do we have? Do we want to outline an agenda for 22 with some goals? What are our goals? Let's throw out some ideas.
Well, a goal we've had since the beginning of this thing, way, way, way back when, was increased licensing. And the issue I have is we've made a lot of suggestions that the county has ignored that I think would work. And Scott would, I'm sure, support this too.
And why has the county ignored them? What's their criteria? You know?
You got me.
Well, I'm not off the top of my head. I can't think of what they were.
One was to put something in the tax thing that goes out asking people to license. And at the time, Scott may be able to tell more about this, but I think the tax assessor had issues with putting a flyer in there.
Yeah.
And it came down to the tax assessor, one person.
Yeah.
And that was the issue.
I think we're getting a new one soon, though.
Well, that might help. And that would please Scott to put something in, and that will help.
Yeah, that would help.
Another thing that it's a little controversial that helps is to have somebody door knock, going around to properties saying, you know, a dog's in here, is it licensed? Now, a lot of people don't like that, but it does work.
Well, that's a...
We did do that at one time.
That's a manpower thing.
Right, yeah. And that cost money.
Yeah.
But it did work. It worked in Santa Clara. I don't remember. I think it was during the Alcara days that we did that. And I don't remember the percentage that it increased the licensing, but it was dramatic.
Yeah.
Back when we were at First Street.
So how long ago was it that you approached the county commissioners with...
Scott brings it up almost every meeting.
With the county commissioners?
With...
I'm sorry.
With this...
Yeah, here.
Right, but when was...
County commissioners? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Scott
so it's time to get serious about that again.
You know, yeah, Scott may know about that.
Yeah, especially, you know, we got an election coming up, too, so...
Speaking of the devil. Glad you're here.
Sorry.
Scott.
Hi.
Yeah, I forgot to ask if I needed a mask. I just barged in because I was so unhappy. But
yeah, our policy is you don't need one for Lane County again.
Say that again?
Masks. Yeah. Right. There's a pet fest coming up. Green Hill is having a pet fest. Possibly we could have some kind of a thing put on our table. We have our kennel club has a table that we're setting up about licensing. Could Green Hill probably have a table too? Or is there anything set up at Green Hill to encourage licensing? Like there's 1,000 dogs there.
Well, they have to license them. Yeah. They adopt them. I know I've gotten a few.
Yeah,
there.
So any dogs that are adopted or returned to their owners if they come in as stray,
those
there's
mandatory
licensing.
How about the people at Pet Fest just running?
I was going to say, in terms of just a humane education public service announcement, that's a great idea. You can certainly
have some kind of little
thing
set up on your table.
Would it be possible to bring applications for somebody? Well, I didn't know about licensing. Because there are people that don't know.
Yeah, if you can provide some, we'll put some on our table,
too. We can provide applications. I don't think I could commit to being able to facilitate the purchase of a license off-site.
We wouldn't do that either.
Okay. Yep.
But we would encourage people, this is what you should do.
I think that's a great idea.
For the reasons of a free ride home, etc.
That's great.
Scott, we were discussing the tax assessor and the flyer that was put in that at one time and the problems that we had. And that's one of the things we can do to increase licensing.
The problems we had? What do you mean?
Well, the tax assessor didn't want to do it.
But when we had a majority...
But we've heard that we might be getting a new tax assessor, which might
be... Yeah, I don't think he's even running. He's not one of the candidates. So, we're getting a new one.
Maybe
we had an animal-friendly majority at the time, and the assessor, who was it? Maybe Annette Spickard.
I don't know who it was.
Well, they didn't want to do it, and they said, oh, people will merge the two. And no, we had it figured out, just like Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, right? Well, we had 3 votes on the board, and all of a sudden, if they can't see the light, make them feel the heat. And so, okay. It's no skin off their back, you know, and they just don't be bothered, and they think, oh, and she suggested at the time, well, I don't think that's good, because you'll be kind of burying it in our tax thing. Why don't you just send first-class letters to every taxpayer in Lane County?
Yeah.
And then Dwyer said, well, that's not a bad idea. And I was on the budget committee. Why don't we just take that small amount from the assessor's budget and utilize that for the good idea? But then the board changed. But the board is pretty favorable to animals right now.
Yeah.
Sasha, before we get too far away from this, my patient pet advocates group is also going to have a table. And if you can come up with a form where people can license on the spot, we'd like some of those.
Well, we direct mostly.
Yeah, because
then they have to have a credit card machine on it.
There's tags and there's a rabies. We need to make sure that their rabies are up to date.
But a pamphlet with our address or the city's address, where they can do it online.
I've always registered
my animals online.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
we could move that into on the spot with apps like Zello and Square now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not.
Yeah, we don't.
As
I don't know about this,
but
we don't use square because it takes such a big cut.
But yeah. Yeah.
Some counties, Multnomah used to, I think, they give 60-day provisional licenses. Mm. And that person, then they bill them. And the staff gets them to pay, or they have no license. And that way, they're kind of in the system, and then you just nurse them along.
Yeah, you got your
And then you can do it then and there. The people on the field, out in the field, you know, the animal control officers, you know.
Well, we definitely, whenever we make contact with a citizen in the field, that's, you know, we check the license in, and we tell them they need to get a license by a certain date, and then we follow up. The office staff to see if it was been done. If not, then we send them a letter of violation.
Well, what about giving them a temporary license to make them feel so good and get the name of their dog, the vet, I mean, have them fill out all that stuff?
That was one of the things that we discussed, possibly a free temporary license for 6 months just to get them in the system so that we can hound them if they don't re-up it.
Yeah.
That was one of the things we discussed, or whatever length of time.
Yeah.
What are the consequences of, so you get them in the system 6 months, and then you say, okay, it's time to pay up, and they
put them, you send them to collection if they don't pay after a certain amount of polite rebilling and re-notification.
So you got another level there.
No, we don't send it to collection. We send them a notice of violation, and we fine them eventually.
Yeah. And we did advocate that, the fines.
Substantial?
I don't remember what the top of my head. I'd have to look at it.
For a long time, they didn't find them. And we kept advocating that, you know, that, and we learned this from Calgary, Alberta. When you do level the fines and it gets in the newspapers, like $250 is a lot more expensive than your license. It pays you to get the license rather than take the chance of getting the fine.
Well, we send out quite a few of those letters. I mean, a lot of those letters. And that, because I know, because if someone writes back and says the animal died, or I gave it to someone else, or it lives in the city now, then I have to approve that being dismissed. Uh-huh. So, I don't think we have it on our stat sheet, but I can probably get that for you guys if you want to know how many follow-up letters.
I don't think it matters.
But it's a lot. It's a lot, because I'm forgiven a lot for different reasons. Uh-huh. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Uh-huh.
How many of those people are telling you the truth, do you think?
How would you know? Probably not all of them, obviously.
Yeah,
most.
I would think most, because it's not work. They don't know what we're going to do. Uh-huh. And if we have any more contact in with them, we say, oh, you said Fluffy died, but here's Fluffy just bit someone.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no way of really telling. I just don't think it's worth it for most people to try.
You know, the county still is a hell of a lot better than the city. I mean, in our report from 2003, we had like five different options for, you know, different ways to license.
Yeah.
The last option was pet data in Texas. That was the last one.
Yeah.
And that's the one that someone who thought they were so smart went to the former county administrator and said, have I got a good idea for you how to save money? We can just get rid of all these union workers and stuff and farm it out to Dallas, Texas. So, like, our dog, we thought, lost her license. And we had to, I sent a check for $10 or for two. And they sent it back. No, you can only do it for one. And I had to redo it. And so it's this mail thing with Dallas, Texas. And I think that cuts the vets out. In Eugene, does it not?
I wouldn't know. You know?
No, when I was managing the ARC, we were dealing with Texas, and it was a pain in the...
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't...
We weren't cut out of it, but it was a major pain, and we really didn't want to be a part of it.
That's right. And it used to be that you could sell licenses in your office, and then the question was... You know, because vet said, hey, look, you know, you're using up staff, and it's not worth our while for $5, and it's a pain in the neck. And then we said, well, how about if we, for the first-time license, we give you half of the license fee, initially, just to, you know, because you got the stuff on the rabies vaccination. And that didn't go anywhere, but it wasn't a bad idea. And so, the whole hodgepodge of trying to find out, you know, what jurisdiction the dog is in. Is it the county? Is it unincorporated? Is it the city? Is it Springfield? Is, you know, it is what it is.
Well, we'd always would be in favor of reestablishing a single animal control authority for Lane County like we used to have. But
oh, yeah.
That's not really in our...
Right.
Well, I understand.
That was a city decision.
It's what?
That was a city decision to split up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that was a former city manager. So
oh,
I think because of... We had this discussion, and I think the cities are more agreeable to it now, especially in light of the fire, the Holiday Farm fire, mm-hmm. when we realized that we only have a couple people, they have a couple people, Springdale has one person. We have to work together with those limited resources. And we couldn't even do small animals. Green Hill and Elkhead took care of them, and we just took care of livestock. So if you have a very small organization and fragmented out even more, it just makes these type of events very difficult to deal with.
So is there a possibility that we could advocate for a single license for the whole county for everyone?
You can absolutely advocate for anything you want.
What are the odds of it being listened to?
I don't know. I don't know that the discussion is really... I know my boss is agreeable to it, and I've had some discussions at the lower level with city staff that seem agreeable to it. Springfield's not... They have an issue with how the structure works, because in Lane County, Animal Services is in Public Works, and they're used to being part of law enforcement. But that's easily... We can somehow work around that. It's not a normal... Animal Services is not normally placed under Public Works. It's usually
right,
under
right.
police.
Or Health and Human Services.
They have even less bandwidth to deal with stuff than... Uh-huh. than
used to be facilities management for the first 10 years. We started about 2001. David Sukart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As facilities management. And he was very positive. And Health and Human Services wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't bad. But it gets balkanized, what you're
yeah,
saying.
Right.
You know, if the city could be assured that they actually could get more license revenue, because I don't know what the contract, maybe you do, but I don't know what the contract is with Pet Data, but it's probably a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And, you know, the thinking at that time was, when Lane County had the City of Eugene contract, I think the total aggregate income, including what Lane County initiated in terms of licensing, Lane County handled all of Eugene and Lane counties and a few other jurisdictions licensing, and the total aggregate revenue was about $900,000, and I think the general fund component of Eugene was around maybe $500,000. Well, we had a lot of employees at that time.
We did.
Good employees.
Yeah.
And we had like three people working full-time on licensure, including visitations to vet offices, mm-hmm. to talk
right.
to their office
right.
managers. And
right.
I mean, you know, you look at Westmoreland, for example, if you go into that office, they've got like thousands of case files, the one on 11th, right?
Yeah.
And then we got three a month. Come on. You know,
three rabies reporting.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, come
right.
on.
Right.
You know.
Per month, maybe.
But if you make it worth their while, or if you make it worth their while not to mess around and to cooperate, one or the other, it's feasible, you know? But if we're barred from the Eugene thing.
I'd like to see it looked at again. Universal licensing would help a lot, help everybody, actually.
You know, maybe someone here would like to check out what Multnomah County, King County, and Washington County, maybe Deschutes County, and Marion County, and then ask them if they know of a county anywhere in the country that really has their act together with regard to licensing. in terms of new ideas, stuff that's out of the box that we're not thinking about. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I know I've asked this before.
Dave, you're chairing, right?
Well, I can maybe check on Multnomah County, but the other ones I don't have any in with, but Multnomah I do.
And Washington, too.
Well, I don't know about Washington, but I can maybe find out what your percentage is of compliance and how they
County,
do it.
Dave, Washington County is really pretty good. When we were really onto this, they had animal officers going door to door.
Well,
in the
I mentioned
population
earlier, we did it wasn't an officer, but we did chop that out.
We did a canvas that started to generate stuff.
It did.
But they had guys in uniforms going door to door. Hey, I see you have a couple dogs out there, and shh, you know.
Katie, you had something.
I am still confused as to what is the goal. Why are we pushing and talking about licensing for years? What is it, a revenue builder? Is that what this is about?
That's part of it, revenue, yeah. We had one officer for a county the size of Connecticut.
Okay.
That's part of the problem.
So it's a revenue builder.
It's partly
a revenue builder for staff to maximize the mission of LCAS or LCAR, whatever, which is to give dogs that are lost free ride home
serve
for
the
a dog without a dime,
right.
But also
like dangerous
to
dogs.
Enhance, you know, spaying and neutering.
So what's the possibility of getting this as a ballot measure for the county? I mean, why is that not an option?
What are you asking?
You mean more money for LCAS?
No, through taxation.
Well,
I don't think that's
LCAS budget, 65% of it comes from the general fund.
Okay.
And the rest is fees, license fees and fines. There's no, should I say, possible way to
no.
We're gonna get a bigger chunk of the general fund.
No.
And that's just the way it is. So 65% is a big chunk of our budget. If we want more money, it's not gonna come from that.
Okay.
You know, we increase it every year, the dollar amount, because of, you know, everybody's salary goes up and other things go up. But that's why we only have four people that work in LCAS. And I mean, even I kind of cheat, and I'm supposed to be charging my time to LCAS, but I don't. I charge it to Fleet when I'm doing things like this because they just can't afford it.
Right.
We had 13, or was it 15 employees?
Before we split up?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was even more than that.
It
was quite a few. All the shelter staff and everything.
It was quite a few. I don't know how many it was.
But even a behaviorist?
Yeah.
We got that. I got that when I was a budget member, which infuriated the the district attorney, who was starting ranting and raving about, we don't need any dog psychologists.
Right.
I mean.
Right.
And then, I don't need to get political.
As far as taxation, how would you convince somebody that doesn't have any animals to pay higher taxes? I sure won't vote for it.
You have an animal.
I do, but I still won't vote for it. I don't want higher taxes.
But it's no different than having booths here and there, because the people that don't want to spend the money on the license, they're not going to, they know about it. They're not going to see a flyer and go, I mean, going to have the same problem.
Well, when you were talking about Allegheny County or inserting it in the tax assessor bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that book that was put out by ICCMA, International City County Management, well, it's a really interesting book, and you ought to have it. Did you have that one? That's a great.
I might have it already.
No, I haven't. In a box.
Forward.
Well, anyway, it's a great book, and they profile Allegheny County, and they have, like, I don't know, 40, let's just, like, arbitrarily, 40,000 licensed. That's a big county. That's Pittsburgh. And they put this in the tax bills, and they had yellow, you know, magic, whatever you call it, you know, highlighted things in there. And they said, you know, you've got a license, and failure to do it results in this fine and right. this whatever. Right.
That's important.
And within 3 months, they doubled, almost doubled, like tens of thousands, the income, which gave stability. And, you know, public education is a major thing, and we're really not, you know, maximizing the benefit of that. And we should. We should. You know, and so a lot of people don't even know they need a license, so they don't know they shouldn't get a microchip, you know, with their dog, and et cetera. Anyway, it's important. When the county had, not to besmirch you at all, but when the county had the kennel, they raised, I think it was over $100,000 a year, just from people donating money. And then they would bring, people would donate food, and there would be, not pro bono from the vets, but, you know, and maybe you do the same thing. You obviously you pay, but they don't charge you full freight. I don't know about you guys, but that's what the county did. Like, for example, Q Street Animal Hospital. The county, as I recall, the county always wanted to pay a good part of that, but I think they wrote off some, you know. So there was that collegial cooperative relationship.
The vets donated a lot. Bernie come running in with some hit by car dog. I need an x-ray. Come on.
At Q Street?
No.
Or at a vet?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll just x-ray them, wrap them up, come back in 2 hours.
See, Linda managed the ARC, Scott, in case you didn't know that.
The ARC?
The ARC.
Yeah.
The ARC Veterinary Clinic.
Wow.
She managed it for years.
Wow. It's good work.
Well, the ARC's always been known for its pro bono work.
I mean, Green Hill has taken a lot of the responsibility, you know, most of it, I imagine.
We use a number of vets now, not just EVH. It's mostly EVH, but no one does it for free. It comes out of my budget. And we're not like, people don't, Green Hill, oh my God, let's give you stuff to, because the animals, and you know, here's food and money. No one's going to give us money because we have office workers. And the guy who comes and says, you know, I'm taking your dog from you. So we're not the warm fuzzy thing like a shelter is.
Well, and what's interesting is that since 2012, when we signed a contract with Lane County, mm-hmm. with the City of Eugene and the City of Springfield, a lot of those private practice veterinary relationships that used to be supportive of the work that Green Hill does ceased. They said, oh, well, you no longer need our help because you're
oh,
getting
really?
Paid
yeah.
by the city and the county to do the work. And it's we're grateful for it, but
yeah.
it is a small
right,
percentage
right.
of
oh,
the
I
amount
know.
Of
yeah,
work
yeah.
that goes into
yeah.
caring for the
yeah.
community's most vulnerable members.
Yeah.
And so we actually took a hit as a private nonprofit to be able to hold these contracts and do this important work because we no longer have support that we used to enjoy from private practice veterinary clinics.
Yeah, well, they need to know, I mean, the only way to remedy that would be to communicate somehow with the LCVMA and individual, you know.
Yeah, LCVMA at this point is not functioning from what I understand.
Really?
We haven't met in years.
Or one-on-one or whatever, but yeah. Well, they think that you're just in the clover?
Based on the contracts that we have with the jurisdiction.
Well, the other side of that coin is a lot of our effort and money then went into clients that we already had, or perhaps new clients, bringing in a stray, bringing in an injured cat, dog, whatever. Can you help? Mm. This isn't my animal, but can you help mm-hmm. me? Well, can't you go to Green? Well, no, there's a waiting list, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on.
I think that's an opportunity for education, because part of the contracts that we hold with each mm-hmm. jurisdiction is the stray shelter.
Right.
So
yeah.
animals.
So right now, they usually take it to EVH, I approve the care. I say, well, you know, I'll stabilize it. Call Gail at Greenhill and see if she'll take it. And then it gets transferred when it can. But this is usually nights and weekends.
And the only reason that that question is, do they take it, is based on the medical status of the animal.
Oh, right.
Not based on the number of animals.
Oh, no. Because what am I supposed to, I don't have anything to do. If Gail says, no, we can't take this animal, well, what am I going to do it? I can't leave it at BVH. They're not cheap.
Yeah. Well, the only reason that we would not be able to take an animal is that it needs 24/7 care.
Right.
And we're not a 24/7 clinic.
Yep. So what happens to that animal?
I euthanize it.
Who does?
I direct EVH to do it.
Or EVH continues care.
If it's so,
they stabilize
EVH,
and then we'll get
emergency veterinary hospital.
Right.
Over there.
Or if they think that there's a prognosis for recovery, or a potential owner, then we transfer the financial responsibility to Greenhill.
Right.
They stabilize the animal, and then we take on both the care once the animal is stabilized and that financial responsibility. Sometimes we fundraise on that particular story. Other times we just fundraise for a general fund to support medical care.
I've had EVH staff take animals home that you guys couldn't take. But other than that, I don't have any choice.
When you said they couldn't take because you don't have space for them?
We always have space.
Yeah,
it's about the level of care needed. If they're experiencing intense trauma and they need overnight care, we don't have staff at the Humane Society overnight.
And it's a financial decision for me because I don't have a huge budget.
You mean if they need just one or two overnight?
Oh, no. I approve almost all of them. But if an animal's so, a lot of the animals, we don't even contact Gail about because it's obvious that this animal's not going to make it, and then I just authorize it to be euthanized by EPH. But if it's one of those questionable ones, then that's when it comes in where you do it back and forth.
Do we have any real super humanitarian vets like Roberta Boyden or Terry Sue Wright? I don't know what they are now, but you know, people who would find a way, if there was a way, without being heroic, to attempt to save.
That's not something I can, as someone who's paying the bills, I can't really do that. I have a business relationship with veterinarians, so I'm not going to say, hey, can you do this one for free? You know,
I feel like we saw some of that in response to the Holiday Farm fire.
Yeah.
There were cats that were brought in through search and rescue efforts between Lane County Animal Services and Greenhill. We found cats that were severely burned, brought to the McKenzie VCA in Springfield, and they did heroic efforts. They did fish scale grafts to regrow skin and extensive treatments on some of those cats. So there's a great community, a very caring, very talented
and
veterinarian.
And we had vets come to the fairgrounds for free from the Raptor Center, I forget her name, she came. She came to help the chickens and all those birds. So it's out there, but on a day-to-day basis, when I'm getting a call at 10:30 on a Saturday night, I can't really, do you guys have any pro bono stuff for me? I have to make a decision based on the animal surviving.
These are dogs that are owned?
No. Sometimes we don't know right away. First thing I ask, collar, tag, or microchip, does it? No. So then,
but then
it's the owner's responsibility. But then it gets sticky if the owner won't accept responsibility.
And then we often step up in that case as well.
Yes.
We ask them, the owner, then, if they are not willing to take on that financial responsibility, they're allowed to surrender the ownership to EVH. EVH then transfers ownership to Greenhill. And we provide continued care, rehabilitation, and find a new family.
You know, the county did pass that save, adoptable, and treatable animal dictate.
And we do.
As the raison d'etre for
animal.
So
that's what Greenhill's doing right now.
and Lane County. Yeah. We're really committed to saving yeah. lives in every scenario. Yeah. It's just those that have a poor prognosis for recovery.
Very poor prognosis, that's right. I've never once authorized a euthanasia where the vet didn't say think it was a good idea. You know? And I talk to them every week. Yeah.
When we first started this in 2003, was it? When we had the,
well, that's when your report came out. So you started before that, in one.
But the report, the committee, which was a product of people really being offended at unnecessary euthanasia.
I don't think we do that at all.
No. We did.
Oh, we did. I know we did.
Oh, yeah.
You should hear some of Bernie's stories.
I don't want it. But euthanasia for space.
Yes. No.
That was a big battle. And it was amicably resolved. It was resolved in a positive, progressive way. Anyway.
Katie had something again.
Any question? Comment?
No, I was just going to comment that we have totally gone off course.
Yeah, this is actually you guys.
Are you the co-chair? Are you the co-chair?
No, I'm a nobody.
Who's chairing? Are you? Oh, good.
We were in the midst of 2022 goals.
So I'm going to put something out there.
Yes.
Can on this licensing, could we agree on some plan, however little it is, to move forward and actually work on it and see if something happens? I've heard lots of suggestions, but we never follow through on them. We just talk about them. Regarding the licensing.
Well, we were talking about how could it increase.
Right. So,
and then we were talking about what other people are doing.
Right.
And are there any best case scenarios or models?
The easiest one would be the tax assessor that I see.
And that's a good suggestion, you know. Can you report back to us as to when the tax statements go out and when?
I don't know, he might know. I don't know when they go out.
The assessor knows.
My wife pays the bill.
June 30th.
What?
Yeah. Fiscal year is June 30th. So
it go out in the fall, I believe.
And so
I remember, sir, when I get mine.
Yeah.
First of all, you need authorization from the board.
Yes.
And then you would need an estimate. I guess the county could only mail to taxpayers from the unincorporated area.
That's correct.
Which is unfortunate, unless the city wanted to cooperate.
Unless we had universal licensing, which we should work on.
So I don't know how you, I suppose they can find that out, zip code or jurisdiction, I don't know. But then you'd want to know what their printing deadline was for the bill. And then it would just be a light, inexpensive insert, like you get every month in your Northwest, whatever it is, gas bill. Or, you know how they put
Well, the wording is important, too. The wording is important, too, including letting them know there's a hefty fine if they don't license.
Right.
So the wording is important, how it's worded. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to be short and sweet and to the point.
And that the county has taken possession of that gallows and noose that was on January 6th in front of the Capitol.
I wouldn't go quite that far.
That was amazing.
How about what was going on in Portland and Seattle before that?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
That's pretty nebulous.
Because?
What are you saying?
Well, I think that we have to actually do something.
Great. We need to do something.
We need to do something. We have to, as a committee, decide. One step forward would be nice. And we can find out if we just get out there and do these things. As you said, you've got events coming up, have flyers. Oh, does that do any good? Nope. Let's do something.
And we do those events sometimes with LCAS staff, but with a staff of two right now.
Right,
And whenever those things happen, that's all overtime for me. So I'm very limited in the amount of times per year. But we've had tables at different.
What about the Wayne County Fair? Are you there selling licenses?
No.
That would be a wonderful time to do that.
We had a table there once.
But was it effective? Was it proactive? Was it visible?
Yeah, it well, Public Works has their own little area. Usually it's between the museum and that one. It's like this.
You're not in the pavilion?
No.
Why not?
Well, that's because that's where the Lane County Public Works has the, they let people get to, there's all these events. And we could do that, we just haven't found, we've had Bernie out there in his truck, and that got a lot of attention.
Kids, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And we'll look at that again once we're fully staffed.
But the pavilion where all these organizations inside air conditioning sell their wares, do, you know, all those organizations,
yeah.
Right?
Well, we would want to stay with our...
We used to have something there with some animals there. Some dogs.
We don't have any animals anymore. So when we've gone to these events where they want an animal, Bernie would take his own dogs because they're like, he has dogs that do the sniffing out dead bodies and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, his wife does. She trains them. And she's come to this. We've gotten a lot of volunteer hours from Bernie's wife. So, but like I said, once we get fully staffed, that's something we'll look at again.
What about the possibility of having a public service announcement on some of the news channels? You know, it's an informational, letting people know about the requirements for licensing, and that if you don't, that there is a very hefty fine.
That's something that Calgary did to great effect.
And that's something we have to coordinate with the cities, though, because it makes no sense, because the unincorporated population of Lynn County is about, you know, it's way smaller than Eugene.
We had somebody here before you came on the committee talking to us about that. I don't remember what her name was. And she basically said it's not going to happen.
Because?
I don't know. She talked to us for an hour or so.
Wait.
Public service announcements were not really available to us. Is what I got from
it. Wait. The county has a...
we should be able to do it. I agree.
The county has
however,
public service.
Right.
The county has a communication.
We have a public information
officer. And we put PSAs out for...
And she does.
4th of July, like, keep your dogs...
Yeah, that does go on to our... Social media pages that we control, not through the Oregon Broadcasters Association or something
that's
that goes
what we're
on TV,
right,
but
that's
it goes on our
be.
Social media.
Yeah, but
pages.
The county's press office, that they still have it.
They have one person.
Yeah, and they put out stuff if we ask.
No, I work with her all the time.
Yeah.
They put stuff up.
So they'll put stuff out to the radio or whatever.
And I
well, would that be a step to take to see if it
seems to me?
In fact,
I would be willing to,
along with putting the information out on the upcoming tables at the Fest. So that's two steps.
Are there any animal organization annual? This is something day.
Pet
you know, take your dog to work day. Or,
I was just looking to see if there's a license your pet
day or
month.
National license your pet. There's national every other damn
this
day.
Seems like so right. Yeah, I can look into that and report that.
Maybe you could do it together here.
Sure.
And look at you know, something that national love your dog day. National.
Well, it could be
you,
national. It could be Oregon. You know, it could be.
Right, but if there's some that exists.
Oh, right.
You know, like. National Spay and Neuter Your Dog Day, or Give Your Dog a Microchip Day. Well, I guess we could create them.
Of course we can.
We could have the Board of Commissioners deem it, this is the annual Lane County Microchip Your Dog Day. Now, do we have microchip days ever where we are going out to the park or at the...
We don't, because it's not a requirement. I mean, you guys require it when you adopt a pet, but it's not in code, it's not a requirement.
But as a public service?
It would be an expense that I probably would have.
Well, you have the money from the vouchers and the 5%.
Yeah.
And not much of that is actually expended.
Yeah. I think that's a good area for us to work on, to use that money.
For microchips for indigent or people that need, you know, whatever, at some events, you know, where, you know, or homeless people that have a microchip or whatever. I mean, maybe we could use a, what's the annual?
I don't have the figures from
here. But if you had to guess, what would be the annual, what's the annual license revenue?
I don't have to.
Or if you had to guess.
I'm telling Scott, I've been foggy headed with radiation.
Okay, but
for 6 months. I don't remember. I couldn't even do my own budget this year.
Okay. Is it 60,000 maybe?
Oh, yeah, more than, yeah.
Okay. So let's say it's 80,000, 10% is 8,000, right?
Yeah.
So 4,000 microchips. Well, okay.
I moved up from Jackson County. And Jackson County, for 3 years in a row, I don't know that they're still doing it, but what they did, PetSmart wasn't there then, so they went to the mini pet stores. And on two weekends a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, they would have a get your rabies shot, get your license package. And they had a person at the stores, I think they had three mini pets, and so they had staff at three of those. And they had a little table, a little booth, and you went there and you filled out a form, you got your rabies shot for $5 and your license at a discounted deal, and then you were in their system. So they could, you know when you needed.
That's Jackson County.
That was Jackson County. And that was good for them. But then PetSmart came in and Petco and those, and they didn't participate in that. And I don't know that they've done it since then, but they did do it with Mini Pet down there.
Is that Mini Pet one?
Yeah, with the Mini Pet mark.
And good. I like
and it was and it worked, you know. They did have a staff person, and they had the flyers were up at the stores and stuff like that. They had a special thing in the newspaper telling it was going to happen.
Really?
And stuff. But it was you could get your rabies shot for $5 and the license at half price.
Now, who got? Was it anyone?
Yeah, anybody that walked up with their dog.
Anybody that qualified for
anybody
the license.
Anybody that qualified for the license, yeah.
You had to qualify financially?
No.
Well, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it wouldn't do us any good because
right.
the city. All the pet stores are in the city.
Right. You have to qualify the people.
See, Jackson County had
a universal.
They're universal. Yeah. The city of Medford is part of Jackson County.
That's why we need a universal license.
Yeah.
Is there an upsurge of fox biting either pets or people? When I was driving over here, they talked, well, so one woman was fending off a fox that bit her, and she was tested positive.
Where was this?
It was
on
NPR.
Say, if it bit her, then it was probably rabid.
Yeah, probably. And they were saying that the series of shots and all, that you know, the fox was positive, and she was, I guess, positive, and that she took these shot series, she's okay, but it was like between $5,000 and $6,000 for the vaccine, excluding the hospital or whatever. And they were saying that's because comparatively fewer people are getting these than the people that make the vaccine. Do we have any incidences of squirrels or foxes or biting people?
Well, we don't. Oh, I'm sure there are. We don't. I've only seen like in the press. It's not very common, and we don't deal with wildlife. We've had just one or two domestic animals suspected of having rabies, and then we have to take the animal's head to OSU to their lab up there.
Take their heads?
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Mm-hmm. They're suspected of having rabies, or they're determined to have had rabies?
That's how they determine
it. We determine
that's
it.
Yeah.
After the animal's dead, we'll take its head to
They have
OSU.
To check the brain.
But you don't kill an animal to find out later on if it had rabies.
No, we don't have
that. 10-day quarantine.
No, yeah, we don't do that. No.
To clarify, the story that you're talking about happened in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were fending it off with a bag or something, and then
yeah.
There's a lot of foxes out here.
I know out of Beaufort right now, a lot of the trails are closed off because of pups.
Cougars too. We've got cougar issues yeah. as well.
Cougar.
A lot of cougars around.
A lot of cougars are what?
Around. In the county.
Yeah, they sure are.
Big cats.
You know, yeah.
Not only cougars, but bobcats.
But what?
Bobcats also. A lot bobcats more of those than cougar, I think.
We deal with a lot of calls with call ODFW.
With what?
Call. When we get calls for wild animals, we tell them to call Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Thank God no one is. Has anyone ever been attacked by a cougar in Lane County in the last 20 years?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of.
There's this guy named
attacks, James. Yes. Lane County, not that I know of.
There's a guy named
US,
James Johnson. He used to be head of Cascadia Wildlife. You know, do you know James? Very incredibly interesting guy. Real conservation guy. And he told me, he's now a professor at OSU, went up there. But he said that when they were just young activist people, they were way the hell in the middle of the national forest, way somewhere. He knows every nook and cranny of it. And it was getting dark, and they were surveying something, and this British guy with knee socks comes up, I mean, way beyond, you know, Hills Creek and way up there. Excuse me, please, but can you tell me how to get to Eugene? And James said he looked at his partner, and he goes, well, sure. I mean, you got to take this Forest Service road, and then you do this, and then you do that, you know, whatever. If you just wait 25 minutes, we're going back to Eugene. We'll give you a ride. No, that's quite all right. Cheerio. Thank you. Well, so they wait. It's getting dark. And they finally get James and his friend party. They get in their van or whatever it is. And they're going down this one, you know, long Forest Service road. And in front of them, 50 feet down, is this huge cougar. And in front of that cougar, 50 feet beyond, is this Cheerio Brit. And he accepted a ride with
him. So, he was on foot?
They're scary, I've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scary.
I mean, theoretically, he could have been dinner.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where are we, Madam Chair?
All right. I think we have a couple of goals. We're going to see if we can't potentially increase lysing in some way, shape, or form. We're going to see if we couldn't potentially advocate for a licensing agency for this county, universal licensing, if you will, in some way, shape, or form. Anything else?
I'm wondering who's going to work on these things.
You're going to do the first four of the. No.
I was going to check out the PSA. Just you right. know, what do yes. we have to? What hoops do we have to jump through to be able to have our message get out there on the TV?
David, would you be interested in, at your leisure, when you have time, to look into a few?
I could
major
look into
counties.
Multnomah County.
Huh?
I could look into Multnomah County, how they license it, whether it's universal or not.
Okay.
And what kind of percentage they have compliance.
Okay.
But that's it.
Well, I'll look at Washington County. Since you don't seem to want to do Washington County, I'll do Washington
okay.
County. Okay. And, what about this insert for the tax statement?
How do we go about asking the county commissioners to insert a tax flyer in the tax statement? What's the process?
Well, that's a very specific. I'm not sure. I think it would probably be best if we waited until after the election to see who the next tax assessor is going to be, because it's not going to be the one that we have now. So, and then
the county commissioners are going to change too.
Yeah. And the commissioners are going to change too. So I think, yeah, that would probably be the best to wait to that.
What
I'm
is the
looking
election?
Through some of the licensing things. So we got three categories of license or renewals. We have 30, in the first 9 months of the year, over 3,300. We've mailed 3,300 letters to people who we saw got a rabies but didn't have a license. So that's a lot of. And then for people who had licenses and then needed a reminder, we did over 7,200. And then for people who violated, it was over 2,200. So there's a lot that those two office assistants in the.
Wait, you mean the license, people that had licenses but hadn't renewed them?
Yeah.
That's 7,200?
No. That's the mailed license violation in those. The renew reminder just means when it's close to time.
Yeah. How many were they? 7,000?
Yeah, 7,248. Yeah. Then the license violations, those are people we know either from contact or some other way that they didn't have a license. That was 2,260. And then just from the rabies cross-referencing, we had 3,300 of those.
They had gotten their rabies tag,
yeah,
but they not, didn't.
They didn't have a license.
And they had been contacted by us.
Well, no, that's this was the.
This
contact.
Was the first contact.
Yeah.
And do you have any idea on the mailed license violation notices how many people actually responded and paid?
No, that's a good question. And Nathan, why could you work with the office staff to see if we can get some numbers for that?
Sure. Yep.
So if you were looking at this, if I'm looking at the statistics right, mailed license renew reminder, 7,200.
Yeah.
Of those 7,200, 2,200 received, didn't receive.
No, not necessarily. Because we could have, that could have been some portion of them, but also could have been we were out and had contact with a citizen and for whatever reason say, hey, your dog's not licensed.
Right. Okay.
How many licenses does Lane County have jurisdiction over?
Mm-hmm. Now, that figure is closer to the top of my brain, but I don't remember.
Okay.
We can look at Nathan, I can get that information also.
Yep. For
that.
Is it under 20,000 or 30,000?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
The other question would be, I think we know that formula, and you probably know it, is how many dogs and how many cats are in Lane County and are in the respective jurisdictions, particularly unincorporated Lane County. There's a combination of the pet food industry,
formula, yeah.
The census, the average number of canines.
Was that in your 2003 report, that formula? I think it was.
Yeah, we did.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember.
And we've provided that number before. I just probably need to get it updated. Yeah. Right. It's just an estimate.
When is the election?
Well,
May.
The primaries in May, right? And then the general election is November.
There's only
that's
going
for
to
Lane
be,
County?
Well, the primaries in Oregon statewide is in May. And then the general election is the same as everybody in the rest of the country in November.
And that's for our county commissioners. We'll be in November.
Are there four positions?
East, West.
West Lane, Springfield, East Lane, and North Eugene?
No.
Is far up?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So there's three?
There's three, yeah.
Never hurts if people who are bound to win know that you believe in their positive perspective on animal care.
I interview them.
I donate to them.
So do we. Yeah. The kennel clubs have donated quite a bit of money to various people that we thought would be helpful.
Good.
$1,000 a piece in the past. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Generous.
Well,
where are we?
We need to also We've done the spay and neuter voucher. No, we haven't.
Well, the numbers are on here, but if you want, we have the spay and neuter voucher for, so it looks like for the first 9 months of the year, 4 were used for dogs, 43 were used for cats.
4 for dogs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And?
And how many were issued? We know that?
Well, yeah.
Well, it's, those are the ones that were used and submitted for payment.
Which, is that on some page that I can't
remember? Yeah, see on the, the back of the first page,
and the bottom
on the second group, the second
block there. Oh, there we go, gotcha.
S/N voucher dogs, yep, and then cats.
I thought you guys were going to use some of these vouchers, no? Great, no? You didn't need them?
We do not perform surgeries for owned animals. So we don't need them for animals that are technically owned by the Humane Society, where we're performing spay or neuter prior to adoption. We do have a private fund called a farmer's grant, in which we will, if there's an owned animal dog that comes in astray, they're intact, and the owner wishes to get the fees waived, impound fees and boarding fees waived, and they agree to allow us to spay or neuter for free, we'll then waive the fees and perform that surgery for free as well.
Yeah.
And I know that WAG, we accept,
no,
the,
no, no, no.
We accept the county vouchers, but I can tell you that, I was just gonna ask them tomorrow, I go in tomorrow and just see for last month how many, because I rarely see anybody bringing one in. It's so rare.
Right. Well, but there has to be a, like WAGs at one point, they still operating?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to the hilt.
Hmm?
To the hilt.
Well,
yeah. Understaffed.
And they do spay and neuters.
Yes.
Why couldn't they use these?
They do, but
they do up four.
Well, I don't, that's. I don't know what that's through. I don't know where those statistics come from.
Those are the things that we've paid the voucher.
Okay.
They submitted to us,
yeah,
and we paid the vet for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we wanted them to. We wanted that fund to be exhausted every year.
It never
this is.
This
is something
never.
Different. This is not the same thing. Are you talking about the fund that you donated the money to?
No.
Oh, okay.
Spay neuter
this
vouchers.
Is spay and neuter vouchers.
County
5% of license revenue is segregated into a fund for low-income spay and neuter voucher assistance. Was it $225, $250 things? What is it?
Yeah, I don't.
And how does
one, that for get some financial information on the spay and neuter things. So we tell you how much it's worth, how many we're using them, what yeah. vets using them.
How does the public learn about them? It's only through a vet, is that correct?
Well, no, it's on our website also.
Okay.
But, I mean,
but we need an organization that is really in the business of.
But there's just not a contact. People who don't spay or neuter their animals are in contact with a vet a lot anyway.
Exactly.
Or don't call us for sure. So it's reaching on this.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way. You know, I wonder if the emergency veterinary, you know,
Clinton,
Q Street,
yeah.
if they have people, pets that come in who need it, but owners that can't afford it, or they could say, hey, we have this Lane County fund.
And we can check with them.
Yeah.
And if not, we'll get them the information and they can hand it out.
And just put our thinking caps on.
I think most people, when they go to EVH, are so shocked with their bill that they, oh, God.
Yeah.
I know I have been.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't mean we can't have the information there for them to hand out. And they may already have it. I haven't been there in a while.
How would you determine, how is it determined, you know, low income in need?
In unincorporated Lane County.
Yeah, yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. God. I always remember that part.
Because yeah. we just don't reach, we just don't have that kind of reach
right.
for that subset of people.
Well, we could partner to a certain extent with St. Vincent de Paul with regard to homeless pets. And you know, homeless people aren't necessarily denizens of Eugene or unincorporated Lane County, but their pets need to be, you know.
Well, I know Wags does quite a bit with the homeless community. I know back when facilities was underneath me, I dealt the homeless issue for camping on county property in the city. And we, when we had that camp out 99, I had people come in and we had a clinic on a Saturday or Sunday and we took animals to, but
wait, homeless. The clinic, you did what?
We took them to, they
Microchip?
Set up,
Pro bono
took them to, from the camp to,
The mission.
And did what?
Vaccinated, and then gave a license, and they were able to take a photo of the pet and partner it with a person so that if they ever got separated inside that camp, there was information for reunification.
Did they give them microchips, too? Did they spay and neuter
them? No.
I think so.
No, they didn't spay and neuter.
We've got to figure out who can use these things, you know?
Is Wax distributing these vouchers or just taking them?
They take them. No, we don't distribute them. That comes from
us or vets.
Or the vets, right? And most of the people, that are using those vouchers, their animal hasn't been to a vet.
Right.
That's another big piece of people that are coming to WAG. You know, the question's always asked. You know, do you have a vet? And it's like,
what about St. Vinny's or Green Hill? Not Green Hill. Goodwill.
Well, St. Vinny's,
we're doctors. Well, again, it's one of those things, it's jurisdiction, the overwhelming.
But homeless people don't.
They live in the city.
Yeah.
For the most part, they live in the city. Yeah, they do. And the campers I've dealt with outside of the city limits are very, very few.
Well, this isn't set in concrete. We've had this discussion for a while.
Well, I'm saying provincial would have to be in conjunction with the cities, not us alone, because we just wouldn't reach that many people.
Do the cities have a spay neuter program?
They do. They still have the clinic at First Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And allegedly,
I don't know what Springfield does.
Does Eugene take 5%?
I don't know.
Well, that's a question to ask, you know. I remember when it was instituted.
For the county to give vouchers out in the city, we're going to need universal licensing. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You're not going to get it through the county people to give their vouchers away to the city of Eugene, which is essentially what you're asking. It won't happen without universal licensing. Sorry, that's reality.
What's reality?
Just what I said. It's not going to happen without universal licensing.
We're not going to use outcast funds on city-owned pets. That's what's not going to happen.
We have to address universal licensing before we can do that.
What about, that's not going to happen in the foreseeable future.
Well, then you're not going to get the vouchers out to the city and people in Eugene.
Maybe. Depends what the board majority would determine, right? But what about the... what do you call it? All the cats that are wild.
Feral cats?
Yeah.
Ferals.
Now, who pays for their spay and neuters when they're
brought in? If they go to WAG?
Yeah, some of the funds that the 10,000, was there a second 10? I don't remember.
Right,
yeah.
COVID came along.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, that was... used for ferals only.
And most of them live outside of town. Well, no, but a lot of them live outside of town.
Oh, yeah.
So the feral cats that are unincorporated Lane County residents, they could probably benefit from some more of these vouchers, right?
Oh, I'm sure they could. The problem is that we don't have enough organizations performing spay and neuter for ferals. You know, it's very difficult. WAG is so backed up, and the way they work with the ferals is you can't make an appointment. You come in, you have to wait, can't make an appointment because you can't be sure you're going to get that cat in a trap.
They don't, you know, remember that Bob Barker mobile vet, do you remember that? They came from Portland and there was a big event. A big event every once a month. You remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah. It was in some big place.
I don't know who organized it, but...
And they had all the feral cat...
Out by the freeway.
Organizers. Well, this was in West Eugene somewhere. And there were dozens and dozens of people, and this Bob Barker-funded mobile hospital with also vet volunteers locally, and also the spay and neuter volunteers.
I went to eWeb one time where they were doing it.
Huh?
I went to eWeb one time where they were doing it, where that was.
Yeah.
It showed up.
They would do 100 or more. I mean,
I don't remember how they did. There were a lot of
lots. And they were, you know, they had their crates and they had their blankets.
I don't remember who did that, who organized it.
But those were the events where there was...
Right, but you've got to get the vets to, and they have tried. WAC has, you know, wanted to do weekend events or a Saturday where it would just be ferals. Yeah. And it's very hard to get a vet to come in and do that. They can only handle about 25 spay and neuters a day. They can't do more than that because...
They being who?
WAC. And it's not a matter of staff, it's just... You know, it takes so much time, there has to be recovery, and then those cats have to leave by 4 o'clock that afternoon. So there's only a certain amount of time allocated for the actual surgery itself.
Is there a feral cat organization like there used to be? No?
Not in Lee County. There's still one that operates out of Portland.
Used to be.
But we do have organizations that, you know, like CRAN, and...
Green Hill has a strong TNR program.
Very strong.
It's been going for 12, 15 years, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that every day, CRAN brings in 5 to 6 community cats.
And brings in where?
To WAC, to be spayed and neutered.
Why can't you use these vouchers then?
CRAN is using the vouchers that were from the 10,000.
Why? If we got money for spay and neuter vouchers?
I don't know how those are distributed.
We don't. LCAS does not deal with feral cats. So, we don't deal with feral cats.
It doesn't.
If someone wanted if they presented a cat to get spayed or neutered, then they were eligible to use a voucher. They can do it. But we don't have any feral cat.
But
we say call Green Hill TNR.
But if the purpose of the spay neuter vouchers is to spay or neuter.
Yeah, they can absolutely do that.
So there's a need and there's a supply.
Well, we just gave them $20,000.
Exactly.
But they should use that for. In addition to these vouchers, if we're not using these vouchers and the fiscal year is going to end in 2 months.
Well, primary goal is to help low income citizens of unincorporated Lane County. That's what the primary goal of the voucher is. It's not necessarily to help rescue organizations who want to take huge colonies of feral cats and spay or neuter them.
Good point.
The primary goal was twofold.
Well, yeah.
To save animals from being euthanized, to maximize the number of animals that should be spayed and neutered, and then to assist people who cannot go to a vet easily to have it done.
If someone came in and wanted to use one, we'd let them use it. We just can't give an organization 100 of these.
Aware that the money we gave out of that trust was for spay and neuter funds.
For people that can't afford it. That's all WAG does, spay and neuter. They don't do anything else.
Although, did you say CRAN is using them? Because CRAN's a nonprofit that fundraises.
Right, so but they have a some kind of agreement, and you would have to talk to Misha. This is way above my pay grade as a volunteer, way above it. But no, that money has enabled WAG to work with some of these nonprofits, small trap and release organizations, to get them in there and be taken care of.
Well, to make the money go, I guess I just don't like the idea of every fiscal year, this money that's set aside.
We'll bring you back some figures next week with the amount that we get each year, or by year, and how much we spend.
But if memory serves, year in, year out, we really haven't utilized them numerically the way we want. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a need, and maybe we have to address this. You know, Eugene is the county seat, right? Mm-hmm. So this idea, well, this is our boundary, this, right. I understand, but I wonder if that's a distinction without a difference in a substantive way, you know? Anyway.
How often is the criteria for the income and such updated?
It's updated whenever, it's whatever the poverty level set by the federal government, those are the figures we use. Mm-hmm. So it changes every year.
I think we should move the agenda.
I think we should, yeah. Over 10 minutes past time.
Green Hill
Activity Report.
I'm open to answer questions. I don't have anything really to add in addition to what we've submitted for this month's agenda. But we just want to say we're looking forward to the new officer.
He'll be out there. She'll be out there.
Happy to assist in any way possible. Yeah. And we are also looking forward to reinvigorating the disaster planning partnership that we have.
Yeah.
What are you seeing in terms of impounds, in terms of the trends or directions? What are you feeling as to the state of animal care and responsibility?
So in a nutshell, lots of kittens already this year. We're fast approaching kitten season, and lots of teenage dogs who are under-socialized and have not had the experiences necessary to really give them a strong foundation in the world. And so people are frequently not able to deal with behavior issues, and the bond between them and their companion has been broken. And so they're not, either don't have access to additional training, they don't have financial support for additional training, or they just are at threshold and can't handle one more stressful situation, and relinquishing a jumpy, bitey, mouthy, ill-behaved, well-intentioned dog seems to be a need for them.
Often called COVID puppies.
Right. The behavioral issues we're saying are due to COVID. Yep. Not being out, being isolated, not being socialized.
You do. Yep.
So you take those pets in if they're surrendered,
yep.
And you give them the time and the love and the direction.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
What about your large animal facility you've been talking about?
All of that has been put on hold with COVID, and
why?
Construction prices continue to climb incredibly high, and we saw a drop in the number of animals brought in over the last year or so. We're starting to steadily climb at this point. Year to date, today we're up 16%. In terms of intakes as compared to this time last year. So we're climbing back up to normal numbers, but we wanted to make sure that we could steadily employ all of our staff, respond to emergencies, and be able to be a safety net for the community, as opposed to looking at continuing to build capital projects when it looked like it was best to be conservative in terms of the work that we're doing and make sure programs are sustainable.
Is there a need for surrendered or confiscated or stray large animals?
Not that we are frequently aware of.
We take care of them. They're not very common, but when they happen, they definitely make the news. You know, so, and we have a lot of partners from outside the county too that we work with to take care of this also.
When you had the animal abuse, that was at Crestwell?
Yeah.
And they, there's all these dead animals buried with legs pointed up. That's been rectified, hasn't it?
As far as I know, that one's still on the property, but like, COVID had an effect with that too, because she was foreclosed on and COVID stopped the foreclosure from happening. So I haven't heard recently, last couple of months, what's happening, but her days were numbered.
Huh?
Her days were numbered in Lane County at that property.
I have a friend that lives basically across the road from that property. She said she has not seen an animal on that property for quite some time.
Whenever we get a report of animal, and we get out and check periodically too. We can make unannounced visits. We're allowed to enter the property. They can't deny us the look, so.
You're doing a good job. I'm so glad you're back full force, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. we take care of it. She's on our radar.
Any other Lane County Animal Services activity?
Well, there's what I was reading from before was from our statistics in there. The only thing I would point out, if you look at a lot of the February and March statistics, you see they dropped off the cliff because that's when we went from 2 AWOs to 0 AWOs. So.
You know, it's funny. I usually don't look at all the detail on these, but for some reason, I must have been bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
And I looked, and I'm like,
yeah.
I wonder why March was like 0, 0, 0, 0.
We have no one to do it. And any of those columns, if you do see a number, it was from the deputies taking care of stuff for us.
Yeah.
So we're fixing that.
Okay. Anything else for open discussion? We've covered a lot of stuff. And we also have items for next month's agenda already.
Yeah, we'll bring back some more in-depth spay neuter voucher information for you.
That would be lovely.
And then some numbers on the licensing too. If you
know. Mm-hmm. Yep. David's going to look into some information.
Yep.
And
yep.
Scott is. All right, I'm going to call for adjournment.
Motion.
5:47.